Blog Talk Radio.
Straight. All right, let me make sure I could be heard. Somebody, if you can hear me, if you can hear me on the show, if you can hear me on the live, let me know so I can continue. And if I don't hear if I can be heard or not. I'm going to continue any damn way because I know that y'all going to be reading my lips, right? Y'all going to see what I'm saying. You're going to get to see what I'm saying. All right, anyway, hello world and welcome to the Ascended Mind Show hosted by the one and only Uno Self. And today's illusion is May 7th, 2022. May 7th, 2022. Now, this show is created to invoke thought because I want y'all to think. And when you think, you could do a lot more things. This show is created to invoke thought, and it's also to put the rest, the slave mentality, and to awaken that divinity within you. So with that being said, let's go. Today's topic is about the American Civil War. And I'm saying that the American Civil War was not a civil war. Now, I know y'all like, oh man, we ain't at war right now. The war is over. And what that civil war got to do with me right now? See, that's what I'm going to get into. That's what I'm going to break down. What the civil war got to do with you right now? Let me make sure I could be heard. Let me just go on here. I got to make sure I could be heard. Because when I drop these jewels, y'all going to want to hear this shit. And if you ain't catching the message, then stay in the dark. Sell. Peace, brethren.
Man, peace, man.
All right. I'm just making sure, man, before I proceed, because when I drop these jewels, it's going all the way down. You know, it's going to wake up a few people that's paying attention. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, a lot of people not.
That's good. That's good. That means we're going to continue to shine because when they catch up, it's going to be 300 years later. They're going to get the archive. They're going to wish they could have picked our brains and learned some stuff. It's going to be too late by then.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get to it then. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm going to get back with you once I'm done with my little segment.
Yep.
All righty. It's good to have that support and somebody watching your back to keep you on point. Appreciate that. Anyway, man, I hope my phone's going to start going off because ain't nobody got time for that. Anyway, the American Civil War. Now, when we talk about, I got my little notes and everything so I can make sure I stay on point. But now when we talk about the American Civil War, you know, they teach in the history books that it was fought over slavery. But with their semantics, you know, they know how to word it to where you think it was about you. You think they fought over you to free your ass. That's what you thought. You know what I'm saying? So they want that etched in your mind to make you think a certain way. You know, they want to relax your mind. That's like a sedative or something like that to relax your mind. So anyway, let's break down the Civil War. That's what we're going to get right into. We're going to break down the Civil War. I'm going to pull up some definitions. I'm going to do reading. Y'all like my reading? I don't like my reading. I'm going to do some reading. Then we're going to do some commentating. And we're going to do some comprehension. And we're going to break it down. So make sure you're taking notes. Or if you got questions, make sure you asking questions. So anyway, civil. Because it's a civil war. So we're going to start with the definition civil. I'm going to read them slow so y'all can really hear what I'm saying. It's relating to ordinary citizens and their concerns as distinct from military or ecclesiastical matters. I'm going to read that again. Civil is related to ordinary citizens and their concerns and distinct from military or ecclesiastical matters. Military meaning the army. And ecclesiastical mean the church. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, let's go to citizen because it's related to an ordinary citizen. So we're going to go to the definition of citizen. A citizen is a legally recognized subject or national of the state or commonwealth, either native or naturalized. So they said a citizen is legally recognized subject. Subject, you know what a subject is. Subject is a slave. A national. Let's see what a national is because they said citizen or national. So we're going to go see what a national is. Let's go to this national. See, they so tricky with these semantics. It says right here, national is a citizen. National. So y'all really gotta get this lesson, especially if you're gonna wake up and you wanna be free someday. You want your offspring free. You want their offspring free someday. You gotta wake up. Okay. A national as a noun is a citizen of a particular country. So either way, they saying you a citizen. You a citizen. Now, I read what the citizen is. It's a subject. A citizen is a slave. A subject is a slave, a citizen. So they saying that you own by the state, you property of the state. So let's look up Civil War. You looked up civil. A war between citizens of the same country, okay? So that's what a civil war is. I don't care how they spin it and how, I mean, semantics they want to use to twist it. A civil war is a war between citizens of the same country. That's all it's saying. Now let's break this down. Let's go to the American Civil War. They call it a civil war, the American Civil War. The American Civil War, April 12, 1861 to May 9, 1865, also known by other names, was a civil war in the United States between the Union. They said it was a civil war in the United States between the Union states and the Confederacy states. The central cause of the war was the status of slavery. We're going to break down the status of slavery that they say was the central cause of the war and the status of slavery that they telling y'all. See, what they told y'all was that they fought to free the slaves because they were coming in to make the states, slave states and things like that. So in reality, we're going to keep reading. The central cause of the war was the status of slavery, especially the expansion of slavery into territories acquired as a result of the Louisiana Purchase and the Mexican-American War. So you telling me that it was the status of slavery over the Louisiana Purchase, which was the purchase of the property, and they really wasn't purchasing the property. It was more like maybe ceded or acquisitions where, you know, they couldn't defend the property, so they had to give it up. You know, they had to give it up. You had the them fighting over the property, the Louisiana Purchase. So it was going from France to Spain to France to the United States. So America was the battleground. So when you look at the Civil War and they saying who fought the war, they clearly saying that the military and the armies fought these wars. France, the United States, different countries, Spain, they all fought these wars for this land. And so by them not being of this land because they were colonizers, let's read it to this some more. They say the Confederacy, which is the federal government, the federal union, and they say the United States. So when you look up the Confederacy, you know that's the District of Columbia. The Confederacy. Wait, hold on. Let's get this right. No, that's not the District of Columbia. The federal government, the federal union is the District of Columbia. You know, Washington, D.C., and their geographical claims within each state. And the Confederacy is the colonies. Now they call them states. So they were originally colonies. When you look up colony, let's look up colony. We just routing down, you know, we taking the path, that's all. In modern parlance, a colony is a territory subject to a form of foreign rule. So when they came here as the colonies to colonize, that was foreign rule. They were under foreign rule. So what they wanted to do was break off from religious prosecution and taxes and things like that. Could have been anything. I don't really know. Don't really give a shit. So they came here and they fought here for their land. But when they came here, France and Spain and other countries was already here owning this land. So they had to fight with them and things like that. So they had these wars, which they call civil wars, which were not civil wars. Okay. We're going to keep going because we about to We about to get to the, if it wasn't a civil war, then what really was it? We're going to get to what that is. So it says here, the first colony was founded at Jamestown, Virginia in 1607. Many of the people who settled in the New World came to escape religious prosecution. So anyway, that's when the New World Order came into play, the New World Order, not when people saying the New World Order is coming. It's been here. It's been into play. So anyway, if it wasn't a civil war, then what was it? What type of war was it? It was a international conflict war. It was a extra-state war. It was an interstate war. It was either of those wars. It was never a civil war like they teach you. And when we say that it was about, when they say that it was about in the history books, that it was about the status of slavery, the status that they were referring to was not freedom. The status was from de jure slavery to de facto slavery, which is chattel slavery. So they went from physical hands-on slavery to saying, hey, we're freeing you, but they really put you into chattel slavery. So that was the illusion. That was the big grand illusion to get you to stop running, to get you to settle with them. So now that you have settled with them, now you feel like that everything is co-productive. And you forget, or you don't remember, or you never know that you come from a line of slavery, that you can't break that curse because they told you that they already freed you. So you think you're free. Now, what was the status of slavery about? It was about civilization. They wanted to maintain and control civilization. Civilize, let's look up civilize. Let's look up civilize. Okay, to bring out of savagery or barbarism into a state of characteristic of civilization. So they saying that you were barbarians and you were savages. So they had to civilize you, and they did a good job. That's why we're speaking civil. So took your native tongue from you, basically, to get you to speak their native tongue and things like that, and to get you to, you know, be in the civil registry, which is the matrix. I say the civil registry is the matrix. Everything starts there. The civil registry is now called the vital of statistics. You can do the research on all of this stuff, and then you can see the path to where they manipulated you along the way, controlled your thoughts, whipped it into you, gave you whatever they wanted to accommodate to confuse you from the real thing that was going on. They may have gave you a Jesus. They may have gave you a Bible. They may have gave you long-range freedom, like a chicken. You let the chickens run around. But the thing is, it's all caused confusion over the years. And people so busy dancing and shucking and jiving and eating chicken. How are you going to break this curse? How are you going to fix this? You can have all this money and still be lost. What was that? Revolt Summit. I seen that. It was a bunch of people with a bunch of money in one room, and they didn't know where to go. What can they do but go buy another house, go buy some more cars, open up whatever. They don't have no direction as a people to where to go. So what they did in that Revolt Summit was cause insurrection and rebellion, which is in violation of the Constitution and can create a martial law. That's not a good way to think. That's not a good way to do things. So, you know, this is why I do little messages like this, and I can go more in depth with them and then explain them a little more when people are ready to move forward. But I'll be damned if I put myself out there moving forward and, you know, we not crewed up making the move in unity. You know what I'm saying? With that being said, I don't know how long I'm going to do this show. I probably only want to do about an hour or something. But if you listen to this show and do the research behind it, look up some of these words, you're going to see where the slave came into play. They didn't abolish slavery because it says right in the Constitution that if convicted of a crime, then you're a slave. But that's a physical, that's a de jure slave. If convicted of a crime, you become a de jure slave. If not convicted of a crime, you're still a de facto slave. You've always been a de facto slave. The slavery comes from the mother or it comes from contract. So they create contract or it comes from the mother. That's how they get you into slavery. You know what I'm saying? And the minimum wage is a spinoff from slavery. You know, it ain't going nowhere. So, you know, it's knowledge on how to break this cycle. You just got to learn it and you got to apply it. You got to free yourself. You're not born free. You got to free yourself. You got to make declarations. You got to do notes. You got to do independence. And you got to do things like that to free yourself. You got to start autonomies. You know, it may be an uphill battle, but you want to stay downhill and let the boulders come down and fall on you, or you want to go uphill and throw the boulders down on other people like they're throwing them on you. So anyway, that's that. That's my piece. And if you look at this and read this, you'll see that the American Civil War was not a civil war. It was an international conflict war, extra-state war, and an intrastate war. So don't be confused by them trying to trick you like you were involved in this shit. So anyway, I'm going to go to the phone lines. We got some good testimony coming from a few people. And we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the testimony about what we talked about, things like that privately. We're bringing it public so that y'all can have this information. We've been trying to do this for years, trying to wake y'all up, but we feel that the information is before its time, and then other people may hear it and try to repackage it, and you don't get the full message, you know, of what we're trying to deliver. So I'm going to bring in my guy, Sel. We had a talk. Sel, brethren.
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. Man, I appreciate you tuning in to the Ascended Minds. And Sel is also going to be a host on his own show. Did you come up with that show yet, brethren? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's all right. That's all right. We'll thoroughly get to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I said before, we're going to, I want to just jump into something. I mean, I want to be at least 80% having knowledge of what I'm doing instead of just jumping in with 70% of thinking of what I'm doing.
Right, right, right. So we had a conversation. You told me you had a court case. You never told me about that before, but you told me, I think it was yesterday. So just tell the people, man, what happened with that court case, what the judge said, what you did, and things like that, and how you got that case dismissed on your own. You didn't have no attorney, nothing. Just talk, run them through that.
Well, I had a traffic infraction.
Okay.
And I don't really actually recall what the traffic infraction was, but it was just infraction. And I submitted some forms.
What's the name of forms you submitted? You remember anything?
Man, I got them right in front of my face, brother. Okay. The one was a notice of affidavit of facts and right to travel.
Okay.
And it's in color. It's in color. The forms had to be submitted in color, not black and white. Black and white copies of the official document.
What color?
At the top, had the flag, you know, the 13 strikes wasn't going, excuse me?
Civil flag? Okay.
Yeah. And, I had to submit it to the clerk, the district attorney, and the judge. And, the first time I had, appeared in court, they had a public defender trying to represent me. But on record, I informed them that I wanted to present myself, and the judge asked me, do I know what I'm doing? And I just sat silent because I didn't want to answer with ignorance, so I sat silent.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't want the court's representation. So then the judge was like, well, you will actually have to go home and, like, study some things. And why would you want to do that if you have someone that done it for you for 8 years? And then I just told him, like, man, that's just something I just want to do. You know,
right.
But before I fast forward to that, they called me up and said, Brown, in case number CR-14864-16. And when I first got up there, I informed the judge, please do not address me as Brown. Address me as my family name, and that's Brown, comma, Marcellus Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to call me Brown again, and I said, can you please address me as Brown, comma, Marcellus Ramon? And then and the individual said, okay, Marcellus. So the form, I submitted was the Notice of Affidavit of Facts, Right to Travel. And I'm going to read it off. It's a Notice of Affidavit of Facts to Right to Travel.
Mm-hmm.
And one is free people have a common law and constitutional right to travel on the roads and highways that are provided by their government for that purpose. Licensing, which is the driver's license, licensing of drivers cannot be required of free people. At this moment in time, I did not have a driver's license. I just had an identification. But when you go to court, when you have traffic infractions on your regular identification, they would still put on record and say license.
Now peep this. You peep how they keep saying free people, right? Now, remember, I went over with the American War where they got you in that civil registry. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't, it's legally binding. So if you don't rebut or deny that you in that civil registry and things like that, then the burden of proof is on you. But if you do that, the burden of proof is on them. But go ahead.
Yep. I'm going to reread the first paragraph. It goes up to 7 paragraphs. I'm not about to go that long. I'm just going to stop where it explains the Article 42 of Magna Carta. And that's what I presented to them. So, one, free people have a common law and constitutional right to travel on the roads and highways that are provided by their government for that purpose. Licensing of drivers cannot be required of free people because taking on the restrictions of a license requires the surrender of an inalienated right.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that when you obtain a driver's license, that means that you're going to abide by 55 miles per hour. I got a lot of speeding tickets. I don't abide by none of that shit. So number two, it says, this where it breaks down the Article 42 of Magna Carta. You know, Jay-Z album is called Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
So number two, in England, in the year 1215, the right to travel was enshrined in Article 42 of Magna Carta. And this is what it says, colon, it shall be lawful to any person, business, for the future to go out of our kingdom and to return safely and securely by land or by water, saving his allegiance to us, unless it be in time of war. So what I got out of that was that you can travel freely as you want, unless it's time of war. In time of war, you got to notify us what's going on. So.
Uh-huh.
It shall be lawful to any person for the future to go out of our kingdom and to return safely and securely by land or by water, saving his allegiance, salute to us, unless it be in time of war, for some short space for the common good of the kingdom, excepting prisoners and outlaws, according to the laws of the land and of the people of the nation at war against us, and merchants who shall be treated as it is said above. Number three.
Hey, Sal. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you, brethren. I don't think they ready for that, man.
Oh, okay.
They ain't ready for that, okay. Man. They, you know, when you start laying that type of reading on them, they can't comprehend it, man. You know what I'm saying? Tell them what happened in court with your situation, you know, how you got through the court and all that and got through that case. You know what I mean?
All right.
Because they ain't ready for the documents. They got to wake up first.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you for slowing me down.
Yes, sir.
So what exactly happened in court when I presented that document? It was Judge Hanna, if anybody's familiar with Judge Hanna, city court judge. I don't know what he is now.
What state?
Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Yep, city court. Excuse me. So what happened was, like I said before, I said I wanted to present myself. So once I presented those documents, the second time with the court, he read it off to me, and he asked me if I knew what the Magna Carta was. You know, at the moment in time, I was kind of nervous, and I didn't want to read off paper, you know, but I actually told him to explain it to me. And then he said, off the record.
Who's he? Who said that? Judge Hanna. Okay.
Yeah. So Judge Hanna said off the record, and as a friend of the court, he told me, he explained to me what the Magna Carta was, and basically, in his words, Judge Hanna said, at this moment in time, you're acting as if you're the king. And three individuals, he explained the story to me, like three individuals wanted to shake the king out of some money. And the king didn't want to give up no money, fought his way through.
Mm.
So basically what he's saying was, I was the king, and then you got the district attorney, then you got the regular assistant district attorney and a judge. Want to shake my pockets out of money, you know, because that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? When you get a ticket, they just want some money. I mean, that's why they ask you, when can you pay it? Or you can go downstairs and pay it right now. You know, so like I said before, Judge Hanna said off the record, and as a friend of the court, then he ran down to Magna Carta. I mean, as if I was a king and they wanted to shake me out of some money. And he asked me if I understood that. And I said, no, I understand that, you know. And then I asked the district attorney, was there a 7-10-30 supporting deposition of the ticket that he had served? And then the district attorney really didn't want to answer the question. And then I asked again, was there a 7-10-30 supporting deposition of the traffic infraction? And then the district attorney said no. And after the district attorney said no, I said, well, I would like to ask for a motion to dismiss for not submitting the 7-10-30 within a timely manner.
Mm.
And Judge Hanna granted me the motion to dismiss. And I went there by myself. My armpits were sweating, you know what I'm saying? Everything. I waited. I was confident before I got in there, but when I got in there, I kind of got a little nervous because I didn't know what direction it was going to go.
Right. Let me say this, man. First and foremost, I'm proud of you for sticking up for yourself. You know, that's a hard thing to do, and people do get nervous. It does get fearful, but that's why I say you got to keep going through the fear, and if you do it enough times, you will be comfortable to keep making it happen. You know what I'm saying? Especially when they trying to infringe on your rights and lock you up or make you pay all these fines and fees and all that. You know what I'm saying? So when you in there and they say that case is dismissed, what you want to say soon after is I want that case sealed from public record. Then they're going to grant that. They're going to say done. They're going to seal it. You got to get them cases sealed, get them off your record. Then you go down and get a deposition from the court. You go get a deposition from the clerk. Now, as I mentioned before, the clerk is the cell in the courtroom The clerk works for the clerk works for the appeals courts, the Article III courts. That's who they work
Correct.
For. They work for that. They don't work for that executive court. That's what that is. That's an executive court, which is an Article I court, which they create those under the federal government. That's why that flag being there flying. You know what I'm saying? But
Oh, the war flag.
Yeah. That's why the flag is flying, because, you know, we still at war. And if you do a little research on what I talked about, the Civil War, where it wasn't a civil war, you know what I'm saying? They got certain rights to create these departments, is what they call them. They call it departments, you know what I'm saying? But they're executive departments. And they do the dog and pony show and act like they're real courts when it's really just magistrates in there, you know what I'm saying? So you got to really know they tricky semantics to really be able to counter them, you know what I'm saying? But I appreciate you sharing that testimony, man. You got anything else?
No
you
problem.
Want to ask the people?
Yes, I also do music, man. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Excel, and the way I spell Excel is Eccell. That's also on Facebook, or you can follow my personal page, which is Marcellus Brown. The Brown is actually spelled as in the color brown, and the correct spelling for Marcellus is Marcellous.
Absolutely. Make sure y'all support. And we're going to keep banging
okay.
y'all with knowledge, but y'all better get ready, okay? All right. Peace, brethren.
All right.
Stay tuned. All right. Let me see who this is right here. I see somebody with their hand up. Peace, brethren.
Peace.
Who this?
It's Cal-El.
Okay. Peace. Peace, brethren.
Can you hear me good, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, it sounds like you traveling right now.
Yeah, I'm traveling, but I've been listening in the show since the beginning. So shout out to Brother Cell. Shout out to you, too, on the Extended Mind show.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, that's what's up. He went in there, man, and did his thing by himself. You know what I'm saying? He got it done, got his case dismissed, didn't have to pay a bunch of money or no money. You know what I'm saying? That's a good deal right there. That's a good deal.
It's crazy that I'm listening to him, because I actually have an upcoming court case on the 19th.
Uh-huh.
I'm going into Kenmore, the town of Kenmore in Kenmore, New York, to fight a case for a couple of traffic infractions. And some of the remedies that he mentioned were some of the exact the affidavits that I was going to put together and turn into the clerk prior to the actual proceeding.
Well, man, we're going to be looking forward to that update on the turnout and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the outcome of that on the show.
We've been banging out and winning so many cases. Now I'm gonna drop this jewel, because winning cases is good for us, but it's not about winning cases. That's not the ultimate goal. What we have to do to not deal with these cases is you have to get a decree to be exempt from public law. When you get that decree to be exempt from public law, then you have your immunity. And it's a certain status you got to be in. You can't be a U.S. citizen and get that decree. You know what I'm saying? And then they got this thing. Yeah, they got this thing where if you don't want to be a U.S. citizen, they make you pay, because they say you can't do a unilateral declaration to free yourself. You know what I'm saying? So they try to make you pay. But to circumvent that, as a people have to do a note, maybe to the UN, and as a whole. They have to do it as a whole, and they have to do certain declarations to claim, you know, the property before colonization. Before
you
got to
come as a nation.
As a what?
I'm saying it's easier to come as a nation.
Yeah, as a nation, you know, nation, you got to declare, you in order to get your own nation, you got to do a note with the UN to get recognized, and then they're going to have to recognize you, but you also got to be in a certain status, you know what I'm saying? You got to have some type of autonomy or something going on,
right?
You know, you got to have your resources and all that, but that's a long shot, but you got to start somewhere, and right now, people, they don't know where to start. They don't know where to go. They're going to keep doing them bullshit-ass Revo summits, and they're going to keep bumping their heads. And I hate to see that. I might keep seeing that because I know it's a bunch of bullshit.
Public controversy.
And they're going to keep creating insurrection and rebellion, and they're going to keep getting bust upside the head like they did with the Black Wall Street. A lot of people think that they just went in there and blew that place up, but they really did high level of insurrection and rebellion, and they brought in the war powers to shut them down. You know what I'm saying? First, it was started out as a civil war. It started out as a civil war. It became an interstate war because they were shooting at the sheriff and shit like that. And he brought in the war powers of the United States and the federal government and all that. So, you know, it's a tricky game being played, man. A lot of people misnomer that situation with the whatever they call it, Black Wall Street. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So let me see if I can find Eulogy. Or let me bring in another caller. You can stay on the line with me, Mike, and rock out with me.
Okay.
I ain't going to be too long because I'm ready to go get in something else. Greetings, caller 470-358. Can you hear me? 470-358. Can you hear me? I guess not. Appreciate you tuning in anyway. We looking for Eulogy. Where you at, brethren? Because I want you to come in and tell your situation about how you got custody using the writ of habeas corpus. A lot of people don't even know what the writ of habeas corpus is. So, Eulogy, if you can call in, the call-in number is 515-605-9749. Call on in and give people this good testimony, man. I don't want to have to tell them. I'd rather you tell them. And they hear it straight from you. I gotta really start learning this stuff all over again. Working the boards, the whole nine yards. I don't know if you can call in, man.
No, why are you calling?
Well, I don't see him in here. I guess we'll say that for next time, or he gonna do that on his show. Hey, yo, Mike, you know what I recognize though?
Yes, sir.
That all the hosts of the show was the original ones that we started the meetings, you know, way back. We was doing the meetings. Everybody was at the original meetings and stuff.
That's crazy.
Man, that's how I know it's divine order, because how will we all come back together like this after a few years? Now we all, you know, ascending minds. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and we all started this path several years ago together.
We got Thuggy in the building.
Shout out to Thuggy.
Yes, sir. He on Facebook Live. I'm trying to see if I can bring him in, but it's all good. You know, we've been banging out this info, and we got a lot of results, so it's not a fluke. And all y'all scared people, keep catching your cases. Go. What up, brethren? All right. It's got a little lag in your camera.
What's up, Doug?
A little lagging in your camera. I can't even really hear you. Can you call in? Can you call into the show? Can you call into the blog? 515-605-9749. Okay, Eulogy, can you call in to go? We got Eulogy right here. It's a lot of lag on this Facebook.
Hey.
I am glad you brought up fear, man, because that's the number one thing that hold our people back is they be fearful and scared of any type of a negative outcome by trying this information that's foreign to them.
I can't hear you. Can you call in to the show? Yeah, fear, man, fear is a stronghold. It's a stronghold, you know what I'm saying? And fear, it's a reality in fear too, because the things they fear can also manifest. They fear death, they can also die. They fear pain, they can also feel pain. You know what I'm saying? So they feel a lot of emotions, and, you know, so the biggest thing is overcoming fear. That's what I'm writing in my book. I got the book that I'm working on called called Life Is Not a Diamond. You know what I'm saying? And that book is going to explain how to handle your fears and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Because when I overcame my fears, I was able to go into these courts without worry. Now I can go look at these people and I can see the joke in them. You know, I can see the game they play. I can see their poker hand. You know what I mean? Like, and now I can play games.
And you can present yourself and speak for yourself without fear of a bad response from them.
Hey, you know what I know? We winning, brethren. You know what I'm saying? We winning. So, like, man, we don't do the lawyer thing and all that. We going in here and we winning. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to guarantee every situation because it's case-by-case basis, but we knocked out a couple hundred of those things. You know what I'm saying?
And from a variety and array of different, from garnishment,
different
tax cases.
All that, civil, federal.
Right.
But it ain't just like people, when people say, oh, you got a traffic case, that's just an infraction. When they say stuff like that, they don't know the complicity of those situations because those are the gateways where people get 20, 30 years. Oh, I stopped you because your headlight was out, or people get killed. You see what I'm saying? So they try to make that like that's a simple case to win. No, that's where it starts at. That's where most of the drama starts at, with those little cases that you think is nothing. You know what I mean? Those are the hardest to deal with because they so tricky and anything can become of those cases. But we shutting a lot of things down as far as that, to where when people start speaking that language, they get them right out of there. Everything changes. They start talking different. They start treating you different. You heard they told Cell, you know, with the situation with him. He went in there, handled his business, and got that case dismissed. Let me bring in, I think this might be Eulogy right here. Let me bring him in. Let me see who this is. I don't know who this is. Peace.
Peace, peace, peace. Eulogy.
Eulogy, welcome to the Ascended Mind Show.
Yeah, peace, brethren.
Yeah, the Civil War was not a civil war. The American Civil War was not a civil war. They lied to us.
Yeah, yeah, we know that one. That was all like, you know, colonialism, you know, land grab and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
With politics
land.
And shit. You know what I'm saying? All about land ownership.
Yeah. And you know, France and Spain and all of them was fighting over land, and then United States, which is the British, they didn't want the British to get it. But they came and got it anyway.
They came and got it anyway.
That's why they gave it back to France. The British came and got it. But,
yeah, that's you know, that's pretty much, you know, the story with them. Like, it's always a corporate battle, you know what I'm saying, between them southern groups and shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
And America is the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
We spoke as well yesterday, man, and you was talking to me, which I didn't know about this either. You know what I'm saying? You were telling me about how you had the custody issue and you submitted the writ of habeas corpus and everything. I just want you to run that down for the people so they can get that knowledge.
Indeed. All right, so let's go back probably like about eight, nine years ago. I had a situation where, so prior to that, you know what I'm saying, I had a child, you know what I'm saying? After having a child, we established custody, joint custody visitation. So fast forward a little bit down the line, child's mother, she decides that she wants to leave town. So, you know, without my consent, you know, she chooses to, you know, leave town, you know what I'm saying, go to out of state. So
she vacated on you.
Yeah, she vacated, you know what I'm saying? So and we're thinking that, you know, it was nothing I could do about it. It's, you know what she was thinking, you know what I'm saying? Now mind you, this is before I even went through any process of authenticating doing anything with the birth certificate, any of that. You know what I'm saying? I just had, like, basic, like, fundamental knowledge of, you know, the do's and don'ts and how this shit work, you know, what I can do and what somebody can and can't do towards me. So I filed a writ of habeas corpus for the custody and or for the child to be returned. So with that, you know, she's thinking that, okay, so she's going to go out of town, and then it's going to be the petition, regular petition getting filed, and we're going to go through the song and dance. She's not going to show up. She's going to do this via phone call. Nah, put in a writ of habeas corpus. You got to bring that ass back here. You know what I'm saying? You got to come back. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, the child got to be returned. You know, so I filed a writ of habeas corpus. Now, when I go on, when I go to the courthouse, I go to the building, they got a, at the desk, they got a sign that says, for any legal documents, paperwork, you can go on this website and look it up and print it out for yourself if they don't have it there. So, of course, they don't have a writ of habeas corpus there. So I go on there, on the site that they provide, the website, look it up. Of course, it's available on there. Print it out from there, you know, fill it out, take it, resubmit it. So when I resubmit it, the lady, she's like, what is this? Like, this, I've seen this before. Hold on, I need to go talk to somebody in the back. So she go and talk to her superior, and I hear them, you know, conversing amongst each other. And she's like, yeah, he submitted a writ of habeas corpus, but isn't this like for incarcerated, like people who are incarcerated? And he's doing it for custody. And so her superior is like, no, that's correct. File it. So boom, gets filed. So now this is like expediting everything. So this court date is like immediate. You know what I'm saying? So we go to court, family court, of course. The judge, semi-middle-aged Italian lady, kind of like, you know, like, was the People's Court Judge Million, you know, kind of young, sassy, you know, type shit, whatever, you know. But, yeah, so I go in there, present myself. She asked me, she read over everything. She asked me, am I going to get a lawyer? Am I going to seek counsel? Do I intend on seeking counsel? Tell her no. I'll be presenting myself.
When you hit him with that, present yourself, that's stopping right now. I don't know what to do when they get that one.
So she says, okay, well, I see here you filed a writ of habeas corpus, and then she goes over, you know, the scenario. Mother here, no, she's not here. She's out of state. Well, she aware of the court date? Yeah. Get on the line. So she, you know, I'm out of town, y'all can't come, so forth, so on, you know, trying to, you know, run game. So the magistrate, she's like, well, the child has to be returned. So she looks at me, she asks me, the magistrate asks me, are you capable to go and get the child? Yeah. So she modifies the order of visitation and changes it so as effective of a certain date that, you know, I go, I get the child, and I keep that child to the duration. So travel down there, pick them up. Well, actually, I stayed a few days down there with family and shit like that. You know, see my grandmother, aunt, you know, shit like that. You know, introduce, you know, my son to some family and shit that he wouldn't have seen if that situation wouldn't occur. So it's funny how stuff works sometimes, you know. You know, so it kind of gave me a reason to go, you know, to this particular place that I wouldn't even have went to. You know, so it ended up, you know, being a, you know, we end up having a good time. You know, bring him back with me. Eventually court date come up. So this time, let me see, did she come down here? Yeah, she had to come down. She had to come in. She had to appear in court. So this time she comes, she's appeared. Now, mind you, like in the process of all of this, what they try and do when you're dealing with anything with a child, custody, visitation, and what the court is trying to do is appoint a law guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nate, I'm already knowing what, you know, what a law guardian is, you know, what the Esquire is, what that represents, all of this different shit, you know. So when I'm talking to him, you know, about the situation, or, you know, I got to talk to him, she got to talk to him, you know, so I'm pretty much telling him, like, you know, this is what, you know, what it is and, you know, what's going to have to happen. He's not giving me any issue, nothing like that or whatever, you know, he with it or whatever, you know. So anyway, make a long story short, we go back to court. She appears in court. You know, the judge or the magistrate, she asks her some questions. You know, she gives her her story. She asks me, you know, gives, you know, I speak, you know, do my spiel, kind of cross-examine her, you know, her leaving, kind of just playing with her a little bit in the courtroom, just flexing,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, just flexing a little bit, because she came in there with, you know, with a cell phone and no paperwork. I came in there with paperwork and no phone. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready to get busy or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, already know what I'm going to do, you know, and how everything going to go, you know what I'm saying? Because it's already, I'm already, they're already asking me, like, well, what do you, you know, what do you want done? Or, you know, what do you want us to do? Well, not even what do you want us to do, is this is what has to be done. You know, so anyway, we go, you know, she, you know, do her spiel, I do my spiel, and then you know how they have, like, you have, like, your closing statement or your final statement, you know. Uh-huh. So I said to her, you know, I asked how did I say it to her? I'm paraphrasing. I know I said something similar because it was so long ago, but I said something along the lines of, I ask that you honor the Constitution and uphold the law. No, so I actually, sound like that. I ask for that to uphold the law and
right.
to enforce this writ of habeas corpus. Something along the lines about like upholding the law, honoring the law, and enforcing the habeas corpus.
Right.
Something along the lines, though, you know. But yeah. So you know, after this is. Now, after this is all said and done, my son's mother, you know, she's upset about it. You know, she's like, it's like you just went in there and they just did everything that you asked them to do. Like, they didn't care about nothing I said. They didn't care about, you know, nothing that I was saying to them. Like, it was just all about what you wanted. And, you know, the only thing I did, you know, I didn't really say much, you know. It was very minimal. It's the writ of habeas corpus that did the talking for itself. So instead of me going in there on an emotional tangent, I'm like, only thing I ask that you, you know, honor the law and enforce this writ of habeas corpus. You know, so I'm not, you know, pleading, you know, asking the court to sympathize with me as a father or any of that. No.
Right.
Do your job. Uphold your oath. And do what you're supposed to do. That's all I'm asking. That's my closing statement. Like, that's all I got to say.
Right.
You know, and she, you know, rewards that the child has to be returned. Now, the first time we was in there, you know, now I forgot to add this. Now, with the writ of habeas corpus, because we already had an order in place for visitation and joint custody because she violated it, I could have actually took custody, like she could have actually forfeited all of that by making that move, and I could have, you know, took, you know, all of that if that would have been my choice, you know, which looking back, maybe I should have, you know. But I told them, you know, I just want my child, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, either the child returns and I'll take the child, or if she wants to stay, or if she wants to stay, if she's going to come back, then she can come back and we can continue, you know, the arrangement that we had. But if not, she can stay, and the child comes with me.
So you hit her with the DC,
you know,
young
spot. Yeah, you know, and the judge, I mean, this being a female judge, you know, a female magistrate, you know, she like, you know, she smiled. And, you know, when I'm saying this stuff to her, she just smiled, you know, and she replied in compliance with, you know, what I was saying to her. And that's what bugged my son's mother out, because it's no sympathy woman to woman. You know, it's none of that. You know, like, it's, she couldn't talk to her as a woman and sympathize with her about her story, her situation, why she made the move that she made. It was none of that. It was just this lady is, you know, she got to uphold and do what she's supposed to do. And that's how she conducted herself in there. But, it was wild, though, because back at that time, like I said, it was, this was all new to me, a lot of this information. You know, I knew from studying some of the information that you were presenting way back when. Like I said, it's like about nine years ago or something like
right.
that. You
right.
know, so I'm going off of that little bit and then a little bit that I may have heard from, like, certain other elders or certain other information, because I'm always, you know, I'm very studious. So I'm always
right.
somewhere looking somewhere at something, you know, even if I don't totally agree with the messenger. Sometimes the message of the information, you know, was valid or, you know, got some use to it, you know, so I'm always somewhere digging. But yeah, like I went online and looked up like the situation, and it was like some lawyers online that was giving like advice about situations similar to that, and one of them had mentioned a writ of habeas corpus, and then kind of put in there like what it detailed, like what it does, and so on. I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I need. Like, I felt like I was led to that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We talking about just going in Google. You know what I'm saying? And this is, you know, being led to something like that, that, you know, I see that, I get the documentation, and, you know, I put that in, and the shit works.
Absolutely. Man, I commend you for stepping up, you know, fighting for yourself, not relying on them attorneys, you know. If you would have went with that attorney, that thing probably would have drug out a year or two. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what they say. You know, it's, you know, especially custody battles. It's, you know, this can be long. It can be expensive. I'm like, no, it won't. This is going to be real quick. It's going to be real inexpensive.
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of people that's maybe in those situations or know somebody that's in those situations that's going to want to learn what you did, and they're going to want to learn that process. So if anybody out there, you heard what he said, he used the writ of habeas corpus to get custody of the child. The writ of habeas corpus means to bring forth the body. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So a lot of different fashions. Eulogy got the info on that. Y'all hit me up or hit him up or any of the hosts up. We're going to reach him, and then we set up a consultation and we could talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, don't get caught with y'all pants down in that courtroom.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, that's the wrong place to get caught with your pants down there.
Better to know this information and not need it than to need it and not know it.
Absolutely.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. When we was on, when me and Uno was talking the other night, last night, that's what I was telling them. Like, it was a long time where I had this and didn't need it, but I had it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, you know, been in a situation where, you know, something happened and I don't got this, you know, all this up in the safe. You know what I'm saying? Just,
right.
you know, sitting there, you know what I'm saying? It's like tools in the shed or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Gold in the vault, I should say. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I go and pull out a block when needed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely, we ascending minds definitely changed a lot of lives for the people that took heed, picked it up or needed it. You know, most people I deal with, they got no other option. So it's like, man, either you're going to go with an attorney, you're going to do this 10 years, or we're going to go in on our own and we're going to make it happen, make it disappear. You know what I'm saying? But we got to really group together. Really start.
When they came to us, they had fear.
What you said?
I said all the people who initially we helped, when they came to us, they all had initially had fear.
Yeah, they definitely did, man. I've seen a lot of people, like, just blossom in the courtroom, man. They have fun going in there now. It's like a sport now, you know. They know how to play the game. You know how to play the game, you lose the fear. Like I always say, knowledge cures fear, you know. I don't have
no
way. I ain't scared of shit up in that courtroom, man. I'll be ready to go.
They play basketball.
You said what, brother?
I said what they play basketball on.
Of course.
What they play tennis on?
Of course.
But see this, though. What they play chess on?
That's a board, but that board symbolizes a battlefield. So they play a chess. They on the same thing they play football on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like it's all the same game. It's just football. It's just chess played out on the field. You know what I'm saying? Just like any other sport, for the most part, but
right.
Football field, battlefield.
You know what I'm saying? You mean business? We ain't come to play.
Well, man, the first time I went in court with this shit, I had two cases in one day. You remember I had family court early that morning, and then I had to go back at 2 to city court with Judge McLeod.
That was the time I was in there with you?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk about that? Tell them what happened with that? That was a crazy case. I recorded that joint, too.
Yeah, you had the glasses with the camera in them.
I think I had the glasses with the camera. All right, yo, after this, we'll go ahead and... Mike, take a little intermission real quick. We're going to come back, and then you can tell them that story, then we're going to go ahead and get up out of there. I think we left them enough info for the day, and we're going to keep dropping
on
them. Cool. Take a little break, and I'm going to bring y'all back in, and we're going to get right back to it.
All right.
Okay. All right, y'all, here is Dropping These Jewels. It's your host with the most. It's your boy Uno Self, a.k.a. The White Bay. Y'all got to pay attention. Got to pay attention, or you're going to keep repeating history. And the reason why y'all can't catch it, because it's before its time.
Mm-hmm.
You said 100 years later, y'all going to figure it out. Like, they've been saying this the whole time. Y'all want to be pacified. Y'all want the king's dream. Y'all want the bullshit. You want fucking Jesse Jackson and Dal Sharpton showing up at the fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can.
Hope.
They want hope. That's what they want. They want that Obama's hope. Y'all motherfuckers are losing.
Hope.
You lost.
You're
we trying to wake you up. We trying to heal your sickness, your mental sickness. What you gonna do? All right, go ahead, Mike. Let's hear it.
Hey, man. So the funny thing is that there might be some stuff that a guru would say, okay, you should have did this different. But mind you, this is my first time, and here we are, what, 15, 20 years later. So. This is my first time. We studying for I want to say, not even a year, some months.
I don't know if that was three years ago, man. We got to clarify that one. That wasn't no 15.
it was about close to 15.
About that. What's 2014?
No, okay, it was probably in what? It was probably in 05 maybe, right?
Nah, 05 is when I learned the information. 05 is when I learned everything when I started my path in 05. The meetings was after, I think, 2012 or 13. After the meet, we did the meetings. We did the meetings after your case?
Yeah. We weren't doing the meetings initially.
Had to be about 2011, maybe 12, somewhere around there.
I had two court cases in one day. I had to go to Buffalo Family Court for a domestic dispute, And then I had to go to Buffalo City Court at 2 o'clock for I had caught a case in the neighborhood in Grand Street.
What was the case?
But, I got into a physical altercation with an officer.
And wasn't the other one? Wasn't it possession of marijuana or something like that?
Yeah, he charged me with the usual disorderly conduct, possession, resisting arrest. They said I incited a riot.
So you had marijuana on you. People got to know the details of the case, so they in a similar case. So you had possession of marijuana people at the time.
Yeah, I only had probably like an ounce of weed on me.
Okay, which was illegal, right?
At the time, yeah, before the leniency they give you now. I wind up, it was a physical altercation, long story short, I wind up going to jail. I cooperated under the arrest. I let them take me. I get out on my, they OR me, but I still got to come back to court. So the first case, I go in the morning. I'm trying to make it as short as possible. I just check into the clerk, and I let the clerk know that I'm making a special visitation for the name that's on the paper and basically telling them that I'm not the legal fiction. I'm the authorized representative of the name they had on the paper.
Hey, what's the legal fiction? My bad. Just to bring that down to people. What's the legal fiction? Just so they can have an idea.
So in the short version, the legal fiction is your name and every letter in your name are capitalized. It means it's basically a fictitious, artificial person they created at your birth to arrest you, tax you, to do all these things, but they can't do it to the flesh, the physical flesh, the real you. So they need an artificial person on paper.
So like a
corporate. And if you don't know the difference,
like Walmart,
right? Exactly. So if you don't know the difference, they're going to run you through the ringer as if you're the legal fiction when you're really the live vessel or live being.
Okay. All right,
so
I just wanted to get
in the court.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we get in the court, and the judge is asking me, the judge gets to asking me who I am, and I basically tell the judge that I'm not required by any legislation to tell her who I am. The only thing she needs to know is that I'm the authorized representative for the entity on the paper you have there, and I said to her, if you need any further information, you have to show me a legislation that requires me to tell you. So she got upset and she told me to repeat myself. I said it again. Now this is the funny part. She said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go around the courtroom. Everybody's going to introduce themselves for the record. So My baby mom introduced herself, her translator, her lawyer, everybody. When it gets to me, I tell her the same exact thing. So now she's mad, and she says, well, we're going to have you removed from the courtroom if we can't prove who you are. So she asked me one more time. I repeated the same thing. So she said, bailiff, remove him from the courtroom. And the bailiff came, and I'm sitting down, he put his arm around my bicep to try to hit me with that escort by the iron move.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and said, sir, you dishonoring a court official right now. I could hold you in contempt of court. And he like sarcastically said, who's the court official? I said, I am. I pointed to the clerk. I said, she understands exactly who I am. And I pointed to the judge. I said, her and you are acting like you don't understand what's going on. Both of you are in dishonor of a court official, and I could hold you both in contempt of court. I said this time. And I swear on my kids, he took his arm off me and backed up. As soon as this happened, the judge, it was Judge Rosalie Bailey, she stood up, she grabbed her little folders and everything, and she ran off the bench and ran into the chambers. And the first thing in my mind, I'm like, oh, shoot. And I said, the judge has abandoned the case and abandoned the bench. I said, I render this case dismissed with prejudice. And I just turned around and walked out. But obviously, more information later, obviously I would have known to get the case sealed and what have you. But I walked out, and they never sent me anything else to come back or anything. So I'm all excited. I go and I go to my boy's house. We go, I ain't gonna lie, we smoke some weed. After that, I got to go to 2 o'clock to city court for McLeod. That's the one you met me down there for.
Yeah.
And we go up in there, and in a nutshell, basically, Judge McCloud flipped on a prosecutor, and he basically in a sense became my friend and started helping me out. And if you remember, I kept talking. He was trying to get me out of there, and I kept talking. And you was in the crowd, trying to signal to me, like, take the win, let's go.
Right. What did he tell the prosecutor though? Twice.
The prosecutor wanted to keep the charade going on, so he basically told him, look, we're gonna put this on a reserve calendar. Let me do you a favor. And we're gonna put this on a reserve calendar, and he said some other move.
You remember when he said you don't want to go to trial with this guy, you're gonna be going to trial for the rest of your life. Remember that?
He did say that. That's right.
And the prosecutor was looking like, what do you mean he had that face? Like, what you talking about? He said, look, you feel it bubbling up, don't you? The judge told the prosecutor, you feel it bubbling up. If you don't want to go to trial with this guy, you're going to be going to trial for the rest of your life. He told the
That's
prosecutor,
it.
Let me help you out. He said,
That's
let me help
fine.
You
I forgot you said that, too.
He said, we're going to put this case on a reserve calendar. If you don't hear from us in 6 months, this case is dismissed. And you never heard from us.
At all. And the funny part is when we left the courtroom, two crazy things happened. Everybody started running up to me, asking me 1,000 questions that was sitting in the courtroom. Remember the one dude that ran up? You stepped
ran
in front of me and took his
Yeah.
He was like, sir, are you a secure party creditor?
No, he worked for the court. He was behind the court working with them.
Yeah, I remember his name, too. It was Daryl something.
He wanted to know. He wanted to learn. We woke him up. We woke his ass right up. He wasn't asleep after
then,
that.
We going to get on the elevator. The same cop that arrested me declined to get on the elevator with us.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yo, but man, it's a beautiful journey, man. And we living examples. We living it. We making a lot of shit happen. We're gonna keep making shit happen.
We got a lot of stories too. A lot of different stories.
Yeah, a lot of testimonies. A lot of testimonies, man. So you hear these people with 3, 4, 5 testimonies. That's good. But we doing. We trying to do way better than that. We trying to keep them coming. And it works better when people get involved and they want to learn. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
They want to learn. So, yo, I'm going to go ahead, man. I appreciate y'all tuning in, sharing y'all testimony. I'm about to go ahead and shut this thing down, you know, leave a little outro. I'm looking forward to hearing what y'all got in store for y'all projects, y'all shows and things. You know, just stay focused and move forward.
Definitely,
y'all check
definitely.
Me out on Friday at 6 p.m., The Matrix Decoded.
Okay, how they going to check you out? Where? What they doing? Where they going?
Right on blogtalkradio.com/AscendedMinds. Every Friday at 6 p.m. It's in the Ascended Minds family, and the show is The Matrix Decoded. We're going to give y'all some more information as well.
At that time on Friday.
We're going to have some relationship advice for y'all and all that.
On Friday at 6 p.m., you're going to pick up your phone, and you're going to call 515-605-9749 to listen to the information that Mike has in store for y'all. Friday. My show is Saturday. You're going to call that same number at 9 p.m. We're going to keep dropping in. We're going to keep making it happen. Uzi, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Peace, brethren. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Okay. That's how we doing it. We dropping these jewels. You know, don't be fools. And watch out for these schools. Because we're going to break the rules. And we're going to use the tools. Nah, but anyway, this show was monumental. A lot of things happened in this show. A lot of things were said. A lot of truth being told. We don't come on here making up shit. We're giving you the truth that you ain't never heard before. Nowhere. We trying to wake you up, because when you wake up, you start feeling more confident. You start feeling better about yourself. You start sticking up for yourself. You find your strength, you know, in this weakness. Your yin and yang. You start discovering who you are. You start knowing thyself and knowing thy enemy, and the victory is assured. Come on. Send it mine. Let's go. We out. Peace. Peace to everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. I'm gone.
This is my blues, 'cause I'm back down on my own again. This is the blues I'm playing. Yes, it's a final thing. When the night is cold and lonely.